This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the weekly edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, your spinoff podcast from Two Birds on a Bat, where analytics meet the eye test. Well, we want to thank you as we come to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball, as you join us for this week's edition. Sorry about being off last week, but with the Cardinals coming home and lots of stuff going on, the schedule just got a little out of control. So took a week off, which is fine, as we can get into 11 games in and just kind of see where we're at and get some thoughts today. But want to thank our partner, Randy Green from InnovativeCompanies.com, for his continued support of all of the shows here at Two Birds on a Bat. Residential, commercial, industrial, my man Randy Green has you covered. He's got the construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team ready to assist you in whatever project you may need. Big projects, small projects. If you need a name you can know and trust, it's Innovative Companies. And my man, Randy Green, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. And as I always say, a man of his word. Meet with him, talk to him. Tell me that you don't get the same vibe and thoughts and opinions that I get from Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, folks, excited about the show today. I feel like in a glass case of emotion, like Ron Burgundy says sometimes when it comes to Cardinal baseball, because as I always say, you know, people are going to fan how they want to fan, and we go up and down. And we talked to you on yesterday's Two Birds on a Bat show about how, you know, sometimes things get a little heightened because of the past, not what's currently going on. We talked a little bit about a clip from Tony La Russa back in 2011 where he took issue with reporters questioning the team's offense a week into the season. And the reason I thought it was interesting was because if you just want to go on, like, history and merit, it would tell you that certain things are not as they seem. But at the same time, as I said yesterday, and this is where I really want to get the thoughts of my comrades here today, our panel of experts, if you will, as I always say, that if you're going to say, well, history would tell me that Yadier Molina is not going to hit 077, and history would tell me that Paul Goldschmidt's not going to hit 180, well, recent history has told me that a couple of the things that are still going on went on for a long time last year, and that's recent history. So is that really where the concern comes from? And then it's okay to be concerned. I just don't know that we have to freak out, I guess, is my thing. And that is me being me. That is not me telling you how to fan, how to react. So I love to get the opinions of our panel of experts. I'm going to invite in one of those guys here in just a second. But before I do, I want to remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com, where you can subscribe to the show. You can also find our bloggers page, our Two Birds bloggers, which we're happy to have those guys and ladies be a part of what we're doing. I love all the writing that they're doing. I know you guys are enjoying it as well, but you can check that out at twobirdsonabat.com. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan, we will follow you back. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page, click invite your friends. Find our pinned post and make sure that you've liked it, commented on it, and shared it. Once you do so, you are eligible for the prizes that we give away every couple weeks. Usually our buddy Benjamin Molina shows up here in studio with a couple of autographed baseballs, compliments of some of his friends down at the park. And we send those out to people that help us reach people with our show, because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's the best way to do so. Find us on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. Make sure you guys download it for free on your mobile device. To one of our partners out there, Adam Smokehouse, is on this beautiful day, as you sit there and think, I just want to go sit somewhere and have a good lunch, head on down to Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. It's barbecue weather, if I've ever seen it. It's beautiful outside. Go have some of the ribs. Go have some of the pulled pork. Go have some of that turkey. Anything you need, it's all great on the menu. They're open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Guys, the catering there is second to none. And, of course, if you want to do a big order, they do the box lunches. They do deliver to certain zip codes. But I'm telling you, it's the name you can definitely trust when it comes to your barbecue here in St. Louis. As I always say, there's lots of good barbecue places, but I'm going to go to Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. Well, on cue, let's welcome in one of my favorite guys, is that I enjoy his work both with us here at Two Birds on a Bat and Bow Ties and Bullshit, but I also enjoy his work away from our show on Birds on the Black. I think he's great at what he does. I love his passion, and I love his, let's call it quirkiness is the word I'll use today. But in the end, I really love his intelligence and his take on Cardinal baseball. So let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
No, listen, if the worst thing you get called is quirky, I think you'll be doing okay, to be quite honest.
A big day for me, actually. That'd probably be the best day I've ever had in the history of my life.
Well, let me tell you. No, I think you've got good days. Let's be honest. But we're into this thing here a little bit now. I'm not advocating for anybody to put a judgment on where you think the Cardinals are, or where you think they will be, but. You know, you're 11 games in, right? You know, you've played some games. It's warmed up a little bit here the last few days. And, you know, you're seeing some things. You're a couple times, you know, through the rotation. You've seen Schilt make a few moves. So let's just overall get your State of the Union address on where you think the Cardinals are as we begin the season.
I think I'm really happy with everything but Andrew Miller in the bullpen. That's a big positive for me. And Andrew Miller had a nice little appearance last night. Hopefully that's a building block. The bullpen's been better than maybe I thought it would be. I think John Gant's been a revelation out there, which is amazing. A lot more than, you know, you and I talked a couple weeks ago. That's a positive. I think they're doing exactly what you thought that they would do, or I thought that they would do. You know, they're one game over 500. They might not have won the games that I thought that they were going to win, or lost the games that I thought that they were going to lose. But this is about what I expected. The one thing that I feel like, and I'm not one to take a, just like the preface that you gave at the beginning of this episode really sums up where I'm at. I'm not one to overreact about things. We get crazy about stats. Just 1 week ago, everyone was freaking out about Marcell Ozuna, and that whole thing that happened near the wall last night is whatever. But you know, just in a matter of like 3 games, we go from saying Marcell Ozuna needs to be replaced. He shouldn't even be in the lineup, moving down the lineup, to now in a matter of, you know, 3-4 games, he's a cog. He's an important part of the lineup. The reason I bring that up is it just goes to show you that you can't make any judgments based on what we've seen. I feel like maybe the one judgment that you can make is that the Cardinals' success is probably going to have a lot to do not only with starting pitching, but with what happens with the offensive output of Paul DeJong and Marcell Ozuna. I feel like if there's one thing I feel like I've learned from the first, 2 weeks of the baseball season, it's that if the Cardinals are going to win, it's going to be on the backs of the offensive output of Marcell Ozuna and Paul DeJong, with, you know, what we saw out of like Yadier Molina in the 5-hole. So I feel like that's really the only thing I've learned. I don't even know if that's true or not. And I think that, there's a lot of interchangeable parts that will help solve maybe some other problems.
Yeah, you know, I look at it. I'm with you on it. We talked early on about things that we thought were important and important guys. Some of the averages aren't great. it's early, you know. I mean, it's like anything, you know, if you started off hot, you know, what goes up must come down. And it's a little bit harder to go from down to up in baseball, as we all know, when you start talking about averages. But the truth is, you know, the averages, I'm sure you look at them. I was talking to Steve when we were at the game on Saturday, and we didn't even talk about it on Friday because it was a home opener, so much going on. But on Saturday when we were there, you know, it's like, boy, you look up at that board and it's like, oh, boy. Can you imagine being, you know, certain guys and looking up there and going, I got to pick it up, right? Like, we know they're going to pick it up, but it's like, oh, boy, I got to really get it going here. Now, I know that there are certain things that, that you know, mean more than just average, right? Like, we talk about how batting average can be overrated. I hate to use that term because I still think it's important. I still think you have, like, if you want to be great, you have to hit, right? Like, I know the ultimate goal is to get on base. But, man, sooner or later, you got to drive in runs, right? And unless you're walking guys in, somebody's got to drive these guys in. So there's a few guys that are even though their averages may be suffering, they seem to be getting, like obviously Paul Goldschmidt is one that stands out, right? He's at a 974 OPS, and he's hitting 195. So that would tell you that while, you know, that there's not a ton of hits in there, they're big ones, right? Yeah. Now, obviously, if I had to bet my house, I'm going to bet my house that Paul Goldschmidt's not going to hit 195. Just like I'm going to bet my house that Colton Wong's not going to hit 361. So somewhere in there is all these guys, what we would call average performances, right? And then what you probably plan for, and I don't know about you and how you look at this, but I always look at it every year and say, you know, if you have a lineup of eight guys and it's pretty much these eight, right, like are going to get the bulk of the playing time, don't you really at the end of the day hope that like maybe, or not hope, but doesn't it seem to you like probably four of the eight will have average years, two of the eight will have above average years, and two of the eight will have subpar years? Does it feel like that to you?
I think that that's a safe, like if you're building your roster, that's a safe assumption. I definitely think that's a safe assumption.
I'm looking at Paul DeJong and I'm like, okay, I'm excited, right? Like, I've always been a little skeptical of what Paul DeJong is going to. It's not his ability. I just have issue with us just heaping, like, this is what this guy's going to do based on smaller sample sizes, right? Like, he's had a decent sample size, but it's all been sandwiched around a couple of injuries, and then you wonder, and then we start going, well, if he would have been here, this is what he would have done. So it's like, okay, now come up here and do it for a longer stretch. Well, I'm way, way impressed with his approach and some things that he's doing right now, so I'm happy with that. But you look at all the guys up in Colton Wong, same way, right? Like, how long can we stay in there? But, you know, I still look at it and go, okay, is this thing ultimately going to come down to the bullpen? And the reason I say that is as a direct result of the fact that, God, I'm looking at this bullpen and there are some positives in there for me. And obviously, as you mentioned, I want to see Andrew Miller get consistent and become a weapon versus just a left-hander, right? But God darn it, man. I mean, how long can we expect anybody in that bullpen to be good if we're going to pitch four and five innings every night? Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be the way it is all year, but gosh darn it. I mean, we got to get six innings out of these guys. I'm sorry, but you got to get six innings out of your starters.
Yeah, one of the people that I really like on Twitter, his name's Corey Rudd. I think he goes by like Cruddy of Winghaven. Over the last couple of years, he's been one of the loudest voices talking about the importance of the quality start from a pitcher. You know, not even necessarily going six innings, but the whole six innings, three earned runs allowed, how important that is. And I could have swore that I saw a study that said teams that finish with less than 50% of the season with quality starts end up, like, having losing records overall or something like that. It was something similar to that. I'm butchering it, whatever it was. But the principle of the stat, and the reason I bring it up, is because it goes to show you just how important it is for pitchers, starting pitchers still in today's day and age, with the use of the bullpen still being, you know, expanding and growing, how important it still is for the starting pitcher to go a little deeper. And you can get away with it a little bit now because of extra days off earlier in the year. But once we get through the middle part of April, you know, the end of April, you're not going to be able to get away with that. So this is their last chance to get away with it, and hopefully we start to see the starters go a little further. I feel like we are starting to see it a little bit more. Like, Michaelis is grinding out a little bit more. You know, Waino had a great start on Sunday. Walker's. I heard somebody say Michael Wacha had two great starts. Michael Wacha had the first good start of the season for the Cardinals, and then he had that 100-walk performance, so that's not a good start to me. But he just, you know, didn't let up any runs, so that's a positive. I mean, he let up runs, but not enough to really hurt the team. Anyways, I bring it up because hopefully now we're trending in the right direction. You know, it seems like there was a little quiet time siesta happening coming out of spring training. I have some questions about that, and now it seems like they're kicking it into gear. So you're right, if they're going to continue to pitch 4 or 5 innings a game, that's not going to be good enough. It's going to hurt the bullpen, even with all the bullpen reserve that they have, that they can draw from Memphis. But it's time, it's definitely time to like get a couple extra innings out of the starting pitching.
Well, and you know, if you really look at it and you try to figure it out, as far as like where you're going to get your production from in the lineup, right? Like you can look at the names and you can look at their history. When you look at the starting rotation and you look at the bullpen and you start questioning, it's like, well, certain things, you know, would lend themselves to like have question marks. Like, I mean, is there really anybody in any of those positions that you have no question marks on? And I don't mean that even in a bad way. Like look at Jack Flaherty and Michaelis, for example. Like, you can love them and love what they did last year, but is there any track record there whatsoever that would make you go, man, I'm really surprised that they started off just a little slow? Is there any track record that would make you go, man, that's surprising? No, there's not. You know, as Michael Wacha, you know, listen, Adam Wainwright aside, because let's face it, I mean, I think we all know where he's at. He's had the career, right? But where he's at lately, right? And let's face it, he pitched great Sunday. That aside, there's just tons and tons. Even Michael Wacha, the question mark is, and for him is, well, when's he going to go down and when's it going to go downhill? Because it's not even a question of when. It's not even a question of if, it's when. So yeah. For me, it's like, you know, same thing as I said earlier about the hitters. Are you hoping that a couple of guys outperform what you expect on the mound? A couple guys probably won't be as good and one guy will be average. I think it applies to everything.
Yeah, well, you won't get much of a disagreement out of me, especially this early in the year. I still don't think we have very much to take from what's in front of us. I do think that, look, baseball's a game of averages. Things average out. They balance out. I do think we'll see some regression in Colton Wong. I think we'll see some improvement by Paul Goldschmidt. I think that what we know is true. That the same, it feels like 2 weeks into the season, exactly what we thought entering the season was true. You know, Matt Carpenter would be fine at third base, but he would still have some deficiencies. We had concerns about the corner outfield defense. That's still there. Haven't been proven wrong there. Colton Wong looks like a transformative second baseman, even with the shift. Like, he looks like he's that type of defender. And even though he's hitting the baseball, you still have those questions. Like, nothing's changed. Nothing in the last 2 weeks has changed. So none of these questions have been answered. They haven't, like, they've subsided a little bit. They're starting to find a direction, but none of them are there yet. And, I mean, you wouldn't expect that in 2 weeks anyways, but it doesn't seem like anything's been flipped on its head. Maybe that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah. And, you know, I had kind of said on the show yesterday, if you look at it, I had to seriously stop and go look, because I completely forgot about the 2 wins in Pittsburgh. Completely forgot about them, because I was trying to figure out how we were 500.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was weird. That series was weird. It was kind of easy to forget that series happened.
So, because I'm sitting there going, man, it just doesn't seem like we've played that well except for a couple games. How are we 500? And now here we are. It's a game above 500, but it's like, okay, like I said yesterday, we're 6-5, okay? You know, would I like to be 8-3? Of course I would. But we could be 3-8 real easy. So I'll take 6-5. I look at the averages. I look at a few things that have went on, and I go, if we're 6-5, with the fact that I look across the board and I believe that 3/4 of what I see has a lot of room for improvement, I'll take it. That's how I gauge it right now. Like, I don't, like, no, outside of Colton Wong and maybe Paul DeJong's average, and I'm talking about Colton Wong's average as well, and maybe, like, John Gant's been really good out of the bullpen. You know, those things withstanding, I don't see anything on here that I'm going, man, tons of guys are outperforming what I think they're going to do, and we're 6-5. I think it's the other way around. I see a lot of guys underperforming, not completely awful, and we're 6-5. So I'm sitting here going, we're going to be better. Am I wrong in looking at it that way?
I don't necessarily have the same thought that some of the guys are doing worse. I guess it all depends on what you're looking at. Again, the pitching staff, I agree. They need to pick up the slack. The distance in games, they're definitely underperforming there. The bullpen's been so good. You'd be hard pressed to say that that's not an area of overperformance, especially now that Alex Reyes is down at AAA, aside from Andrew Miller, of course. But, you know, you didn't expect, I think hitters are 2-for-22 against Dominic Leone. John Brebbia.
Yeah, I forgot to bring up Dominic Leone. He has been a really good, there's been really good improvement there. So, yeah, that's good.
And then I think just all around the lineup, you have a streaky type lineup because of the way a lot of these players are. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you have this whole week on, week off thing with Ozuna and DeJong and Yadier Molina potentially all season. And again, I'm not one to invest too much in the batting average, so I could care less what Paul Goldschmidt's batting average is if he's hitting in the two spot, getting on base, whatever he's getting on base right now, and posting an OPS of 990 or 980 or whatever it is. Like, that's not an underperforming year for me. It's
well, his OBP, average. Let me ask you this. I'm glad you brought that up. His OBP is 340. Is that awful?
Yeah.
No, but that's not near his what he does. So that was kind of my point. I think if you raise the OBP and the average up to where it should be, now you add in everything else, and now we're into, hey, this is Paul Goldschmidt, right? And then that even makes you better. So that was kind of my point of,
yeah,
look where we're at, and we're 6-5. And even though, like we said, Paul Goldschmidt's got a 974 OPS, Colton Wong is not going to have above a 1. I would almost bet on it, right? I'm not sure DeJong's going to have close to a 1. But, you know, I kind of like where they're at, right? It's not bad. I mean, I will, let's see. How do I want to put this? I will confidently say that I think there's a lot better baseball in these guys, both offensively and on the mound, to add to a 6-5 record. Is that okay to say? Is that okay to say?
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I think that's definitely fair, especially because of the options that they still have, like the 25-man and 40-man roster options that they still have. To be able to send Alex Reyes down, and he deserved to be sent down, and then not miss a beat to actually get better in the process out of the area that he was pitching in. That's more proof that, sure, maybe even if some of these guys don't rebound, you know, whether that be Dexter Fowler or say Marcelo Zuna ends up being what he was a week ago, but for 3 months or whatever, like, there are options to supplement that are really, really intriguing and good. And so, yeah, I definitely think it's fair to say that if you believe that the Cardinals can be better than what they are, then you are 100% correct. They have the potential to be better than what they are. Totally. Totally. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Well, I can tell you that, I'm confident. I'm not sitting here like, yeah. Do I get like some people wanting to bag on Fowler already? Sure. I get it. I mean, I think I've made it known. I'm not the biggest Fowler fan, right? Do I understand? I mean, all deserved. Some of the comments that have come in as far as like being, I was going to say people being nervous about where some guys are, but I go back to what I said earlier, and I think that I'm not going to say it's justified, but I can understand it because it's not like Dexter Fowler had a even subpar Dexter Fowler year last year, and he started off slow. What we're seeing right now is a 100% continuance of what we've seen last year. And for me, you know, I sit here and I go, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, at least his OBP is 300, and it's not like completely unacceptable. But you know, there's just there's really nothing there to make me believe at this moment. And again, it's 11 games in, but there's nothing I saw at all that makes me think, yeah, we're going to get that just average year out of Dex. I'm sorry, I don't see it. And I just think you have better options. And I'm not sure in what world, and this is the only thing I take issue with, okay? I'm not sure in what world where you have two guys on a roster. Jose Martinez is not going anywhere. He is going to be on the 25-man. He's not going down, okay? Now, you could trade him, I guess. But I'm sure they tried to do that. But I'm not sure in what world where you either have, and you could throw Tyler O'Neill in this mix if you want as well. I don't really care. But if you take these three guys, they're all on the 25. They're both on the 25-man roster. Okay? You are paying those three guys a combined amount of money, and they all make the same amount of money whether they play or sit on the bench. So if the end goal is to win games, I don't know how much longer I'm going to go with this. We got to give Dex the benefit of the doubt because we paid him and gave him a contract. And we don't want to, quote, unquote, lose him. Well, what about him losing us? That's how I feel.
Yeah, it'll keep happening as long as they're winning, too. You know, if the Cardinals keep this up, what they've done in the last week, and, you know, maybe take three or four from the Dodgers here, he'll get every opportunity to continue to do this. I will say, Dexter Fowler is a good example of, again, why – and I'm with you before I say this. Like, I'm with you. I don't feel like he's any different. I know he's hitting the ball a little bit harder. I know he's getting a little deeper in count. But he's also the same reason why you don't necessarily invest too much on what's going on in the statistical aspect of the early season. Because what? His on-base percentage Saturday was like 330 or 340 or something like that. He was still only hitting like 180-something. But his on-base percentage is like 330, 340, and then like a matter of two games or three games, it's back to 300 or like right below or wherever it's at.
306,
Yeah, 306. So in like a matter of three games, it dropped 30 points. And, I mean, granted, if I was wagering, I would wager that that's like a trend that's going to be the normal. But in three more games, he could get on base five times, and he's back up to 330, 340 without getting a base hit. So, you know, that's the other reason why it's like, I think that there are some really interesting signs that supersede stats that we might not see in the stat line that make me not worried exactly about the team being bad and not overly optimistic about the team having the chance to be substantially better than what it is. You know, I think, again, you see the stats, you see Paul DeJong, and you're hoping that that's him reaching that level that he showed in 2017 just with maturity now. And the Colton Long 360 average and, you know, the 1+ OPS, like all of those things, I'm on board, they're not going to stick. And you're hoping that that stays. But I think that when you're watching the game, and not necessarily just looking at the before-game stat line and the after-game stat line. Like, this very much feels like the team that we saw last year, just with a starting rotation that isn't going deep and a bullpen that's overperforming, as opposed to last year when the starting rotation in September was terrible and the bullpen was also not very good. That's how I feel when I watch the game. Although I will say, in the last two games against the Dodgers, especially yesterday, because the lineup caught fire, it was a completely different beast. I thought, wow, this is this team at its best.
Well, speaking of that, so let me ask you this then before I let you go. So this is a simple, I mean, maybe it's not simple. Maybe it varies. Like maybe people sometimes will say, this is how long I give it. But maybe each team is different. So I'll ask you, with this group, how long before you are going to try to come up with your own opinion on what they're going to be or their identity, whatever word you want to use? How many, is it a month? Is it 2 months? Is it all-star? I mean, where are you at in this is a good sample size and this is how, this tells me what I think I need to know. What's that number or time frame for you?
If I'm looking at it in a vacuum where it's just about the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm giving it, you know, maybe one or two more weeks. Maybe as you enter the last week of April, you can start doing some evaluation. But if I'm not just looking at it through the vacuum of only the Cardinals, that's very dependent to me, if I was running the Cardinals, on how everything else is going around them, and especially in the Central, player trends and stuff like that. Like, that's, I'd probably wait a little bit longer. Or if all of a sudden the Cardinals are, you know, 6-11, 6-8, you know, in a couple, in a week or whatever, like, I would be reactionary on how things go, not only with the Cardinals, but around them. Now, I will say that, just to clarify, like, I feel like that's the smart thing to do. If me as a fan were, if I had the reins of this St. Louis Cardinals team, the lineup would be different. The starts would be different, and the batting order would be different. And it would have happened a week ago. But that's not the smart thing to do. That's just acting on pure raw emotion and fandom, really.
Well, let's be honest about a couple things here, and this is where I'll leave you. If you owned this team, if you managed this team, there'd be a lot more different than that. And it may not all be PG-13. So let's just leave it at that. How about that?
I love it. I love it. I will say one thing that would be for sure is we would have Bryce Harper.
Hey, I love that part. Okay, that means you'd have to be the owner. And I love it, and I wish you were. So good stuff, my man. So, we'll see where we're at next week. You know, I'm sure by next week, as we get another week through the rotation, you know, we see some averages go one way or the other. And again, I do believe that I'm like you, time will tell on certain things, but there are shorter leashes, in my opinion, for certain people here. So we'll be another week into it next week. Maybe we'll find a specific topic to hit, but I appreciate your overall view of the team after 11 games. And for all of our listeners, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. The minor league season just started this past weekend, pretty much. They're just making their second turn through their starting rotation, and I'm just soaking it in. I'm trying to be very non-judgmental, just trying to watch and learn. That's usually how I roll my first couple 2-3 weeks of the minor league season. There's a lot going on, a lot of people in places they shouldn't be, and then we'll start getting into the evaluation aspect of it. But minor league baseball season started and it's underway, and that means, along with the Cardinals, 5 total games a night within the system usually, and just exciting times for baseball fans.
Yeah, and really, and for all of our fans listening, I have to tell you, that's really how I came to be impressed with Kyle was, you know, for us, obviously we don't see a lot of what goes on in the minor leagues, but I also am aware of how important it is for the organization and how it's used, not only it's used in trades, it's used in lots of different things, right? So, you know, depth, whatever you want to say, future stars, whatever. So finding Kyle through that and being impressed with his work is how I first became a fan. And then obviously love your just general takes on all of it. So you really, really should check out Kyle's work. And I can't tell you how grateful we are to have him here. I know our friends at Adam Smokehouse enjoy it as well. So for all of us here, Kyle, thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Jim, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. That is the one, the only Kyle Reese. And again, like I said, I love having him on the show. He brings a lot to it. I know people really respect his opinion. I think they respect his honesty and the realities that he speaks in. So it's all good stuff. And I can't tell them all how much I appreciate you know, all the fans for following us as a result of Kyle. So thank you so much. And we appreciate it greatly. So moving on, can't thank our other partners, Gators Baseball Academy, home of the Missouri Gators, and now home to the Illinois Gators. To learn more about that, DM me. I'm going to be involved with them over here on the Illinois side and helping develop a youth program. I'm excited about getting back into it as I had taken a couple years away, as I, you know, just watching my son kind of grow in high school, and now that he's kind of, you know, just, you know, on his own and, you know, drives and does everything himself and matured up. I have that bug and I want to get back into it. So I'm really excited about helping them build their Illinois program over here. To learn more about it, that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Find out if you have a team, if you have an individual that you're interested in checking out what we're going to do. You can, like I said, DM me, private message, whatever you need to do, and I can give you more information. But I'm excited about being a part of their four-pillar system. The people that they put in place is very important to them, and I'm excited about being one of those, as I really do. I enjoy the teaching aspect of the game and the life lessons that go along with it. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Well, let's welcome in a gentleman that's never short on opinion and loves to bring the analytics into his thoughts and in his opinions. Everybody's favorite, Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, I'm real curious. I'm curious about this episode as far as you're concerned, because as I introduced you, you know, you look at everything. I mean, you're a fan, right? But you also like to, you know, kind of hold your ground and check out facts and analytics to support maybe how you feel. So I'm really, really curious what that means to you when we start talking about how are you feeling 11 games in? What does that mean to you?
I'm feeling relatively patient. Honestly, there's just not enough. It's just 11 games just isn't a sample to really freak out about anyone. I thought they kind of jumped the gun sending Reyes down, but if they feel like, you know, him getting some more consistent outings down there will help him get sharper, that's fine. But I'm not a big rush to judgment in April kind of person. It's just a lot of teams are dealing with weather. A lot of teams are dealing with the different travel situations. And again, it's an 11 game sample. So if they go 6-5 over a stretch in August, I'm not going to get upset. So I don't see why I would get upset in the first week of April that they've gone 6-5. It's the same aspect with like people freaking out about how great the Mariners are because they've got off to this great start. I mean, bad teams have a 2-week stretch where they play good baseball. They're still bad teams. So, you know, we'll see the cream start to rise. We'll see the teams that aren't very good start to stumble. April's just really early to make any judgments in baseball.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I look at it. For me, I think I'm 100% on board with you. I don't know for sure what you can tell after 11 games with anybody. I'm human, so if they were 3-8, would I be like, uh-oh? I'm sure I would be, right? Because, I mean, who wants your team to not do well?
Sure. After the Padres series, I was kind of like, oh, that stinks. Like, they're just doesn't feel like they're playing very good right now. But these first two games of the Dodgers, I'm like, oh, all right. Well, you know, again, everybody's kind of finding their footing. The bullpen's finding their role. The starters are still stretching out. So, you know, it kind of bump my spirit up a little bit here so far with this week against the Dodgers.
You know, and I do. And I look at like, you know, I wonder, okay, so let me take it this way. I love what you said about the Seattle Mariners, because I think, number one, let's be honest, the Mariners traded away some talent, some really talented players, right? They made some changes and they come out 11-2. And to your point, does 11-2 tell you a story about the Mariners? I don't know. If the Cardinals started 11-2, would it change your opinion? I'm just curious.
Maybe a little bit, in the sense that like it would feel like they're firing on all cylinders already. I think there's definitely going to be a stretch over the course of the season where the Cardinals go win 11 of 13 games because they have talent. Like, and there's going to be parts where they do that, but there's also going to be parts where they go 6-5 over 11 games. And it's just dealing with that ebb and flow of baseball that we all have to be patient with.
Yeah, patience is tough, right? In your opinion, is patience tougher because of the last 3 years? Is that ultimately what it comes down to?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, everybody wants them to come firing out of the gate to feel better. But like I said, all those teams that come firing out of the gate are going to pull back a little bit. Like, the Mariners aren't going to be 9 games over every single month and win 120 games. That's just not going to happen. So eventually the stats will pull back a little bit. And it's the same way with the Cubs. Now, the Cubs, their bullpen seems to be a bit of a train wreck, and I don't know if they can get that fixed internally. But, you know, a lot of us kind of looked at those Pecota projections and stuff and kind of went, what? They got the Cubs at 80 wins? Like, that's kind of crazy. But, man, right now they look like an 80-win team. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I love those predictions, and sometimes when they work and sometimes when they – I mean, it always makes you go, But, you know, you look at – again, you can look at this in a variety of ways, right, and try to figure out, you know, where you're at after an X amount of games. I mean, you look at the Dodgers. They start off 8-2. They're scoring runs like they're going out of style, and they come in here to St. Louis, and all of a sudden now they're 8-4. They're not scoring the runs here like they had been. And It's a funny game, right? Like, what goes up must come down. I said that earlier when I was talking to Kyle. It's hard to live as a fan or a player even in this game if you're gonna just ride these highs and lows like it's the end of the world. And maybe that's the mistake we make, is it?
Yeah, like we just get we attach emotion to very small sample sizes. And I've seen a lot of it on Twitter lately about, you know, guys like Dexter Fowler and Marcelo Zuna, and people have attached an emotion to these guys. And it's like, guys, they're kind of warm weather play. Like, let them get warmed up, let them get stretched out. Like, they're not guys that grew up in the Midwest that are used to this kind of thing. So I know that it sounds like a petty excuse, but weather at this time of year really does play a factor into a lot of scenarios.
Yeah, I will say this. I don't take any issue with a fan that is frustrated. I don't take any issue with a fan that says, you know, this sample size that you're talking about right now really goes back a year. How do you deal with that in your opinion? Like this whole Dexter Fowler thing. Like, here, let's just use Dex. I hate to use one player, but let's use Dex. I know it's 11 games in, but give me your thoughts on Dex.
I mean, if I'm just, you know, off the cuff going by what I've seen, it looks like he's kind of done. It's kind of what we were hoping. It's the worst case scenario. It's what we were hoping wouldn't happen, is that Dexter Fowler is kind of done. But he might be done. And I think that over time, Schilt and the front office will have to make a transition into a more permanent role for maybe O'Neill or Martinez, but who knows? You know, he's a Vegas guy, and he may get better as he gets warmed up and sees more pitches. I don't know, but you hope that he would have started a little better than this, but this seems a lot similar to how he started last year too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a. As I said, you know, he's wearing our jersey. If he's going to play, I want him to succeed. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a 25-man roster for a reason. As I said to Kyle, and I'll get your thoughts on this before I let you roll, you've got Dexter Fowler. You've got, you know, and listen, I'm not even just making this about Dex. Let's just say you've got Dexter Fowler, Harrison Bader, and Marcelo Zuna starting, and on your bench is Tyler O'Neill and Jose Martinez. I mean, I know they get paid big dollars to evaluate guys and make decisions, but you're paying five guys a total of X amount of dollars. At what juncture does it become about playing the three best outfielders?
Well, I think it will come soon. The front office is going to be patient as well. They're going to give that ample opportunity, as long as it's not costing them games. And I wouldn't say right now Dexter Fowler is costing them any games. You know, he's not falling down in the outfield and letting every ball hit the ground. He's not striking out every at bat. So they're going to let him feel it out and see how he does. But there's a lot of stuff we don't know about his fans that you know, he could be in the front office and with his own manager about. You know, he talked this offseason about his mental health and stuff. And that's a fine line for employers. Like, they're still employees. So, you know, yeah, you got to perform. But there's going to be a little leash with employees that are dealing with their own personal demons.
Yeah, I will say this as I look at it. And I'm completely comfortable saying so. I want him to do well. If he's going to play, I obviously want him to do well. But at some juncture, I want the best players to play. And, you know, the old manager took a beating on some of this. The new manager even already is taking a little bit of gruff from some fans on this. It just tells me that this is about way more than what a manager thinks. And I don't know if I like that part of baseball right now. And again, you can call me crazy, but, man – you think about all these old managers that were great managers. I mean, just look as recently as Tony La Russa. There is no way he could have managed like this. No way.
And that's why him and Mo didn't get along all that well. You know, they had a working relationship because they both had careers to to perform at, but I don't think on a day-to-day level that they got along all that well because of, you know, the front office giving their thoughts. And I don't want to say meddling, because it really is a team effort to make sure that the team is performing at its peak. But I feel like part of the reason why they hired Matheny was because the front office knew that they could have a hand in whatever he was doing. And I see, as much as I like Schilt, respect him and respect what he knows about baseball, they hired internally for a reason. Because, again, the front office wants their hand in whatever's going on with the day-to-day. And if you hire someone from the outside, they're not going to tolerate that. So there's definitely some of that going on. I'm not saying it's wrong, because it's not our business to run. But as a fan, sometimes you can see it from afar.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am in 100% lockstep with you on that. The whole, not that he wasn't a great candidate. I like Mike Schilt. I like everything I've heard about him, everything I've seen from him. What's the word? I'm not looking at this and saying that it's anybody's fault, the reason some things are going the way they're going. I'm living with it. It is what it is. That being said, it also plays into a theory of mine about, you know, why he's the manager, and a guy like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's a reason Jose Oquendo's not the manager of this baseball team. I don't care what anybody says. And there's a reason why he said they got the right guy. That's what I believe, and I really don't care if I'm telling you, if you know some of the things, there's a reason why he said they've got the right guy. And I believe in my heart the reason he said they've got the right guy is because I'm not the right guy not to manage like that. So yeah, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. You can say I'm crazy. That's fine. But you know what's funny? I said for 3 years there's more to the Albert Pujols thing. And everybody's, oh, okay. And then here we go, right?
Yep.
And I'm telling you, there's a reason why Jose Oquendo is not the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. So,
yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that he was right. Because you want the front office to be able to work with the manager. So him saying that they have the right guy isn't negative on anyone.
No.
It's not a negative flight at the front office. That's how they choose to operate, and they need a manager that is willing to work with them on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I don't want to shift gears too far here, but being a Cowboys fan of the NFL, they have the right head coach for that front office situation. You know, they had Bill Parcells, and that wasn't going to work. It was kind of like Tony La Russa. Like, it worked for a little while, but they grinded for a while, and it just wasn't going to work anymore because that working relationship wasn't there. And now they're not going to get rid of that guy because he's going to work with the front office how they want to work together. And it's the same way with the Cardinals, in my opinion. You know, I have good eyes on both these franchises, and they feel very similar when I'm watching them, when I'm getting a feel for what they're doing. They're very similar. So, yeah, I think Schilt's the wrong guy. I don't think Moe's the wrong guy. This is just how this franchise chooses to operate, and it happens to be the team that we root for.
Yeah, I'm in no way saying that I don't like him. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I also am not. I hate to say it, but it's what I believe, and it goes back to things of me asking questions a while back about Jose Oquendo being the next manager of the Cardinals and being told what I was told. So that's where I get it from, and you know, we'll see. Like I said, I think Mike Schilt's definitely the right guy because let's talk about the reality that you've got to be able to work with your front office. If you don't want to work with the front office, it's not going to work. Like I said, when a Hall of Fame manager like Tony La Russa, listen, he left. Now, did he ride off into the sunset? No, he did not. What did he go do? He went and worked for somebody else. Maybe not on the field,
yep,
but he went and worked somewhere else.
He wasn't ready to be done with baseball.
No.
He was ready to be done with that front office.
So, you know, end result. And again, people would say, well, yeah, but look at Tony. Tony's went and been a front office guy, and what's he doing? Nothing. I don't know. Listen, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that style of manager, it's over. For the Cardinals, it is at this current juncture. So we'll see. Like I said, you can't look at some of the things that are going on and not say, you know, now you either believe that or you don't, and it's fine. And again, we're also only 11 games into it. So we'll see. But there are things that are going on that go on everywhere. That's another thing I want to say too. You know, when Mike was here and everybody complained about overuse in the bullpen, I would tell you, go look at some of our guys, how many times they pitched out of the bullpen already. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, am I crazy?
And I'm not jumping off a bridge here. I'm not telling anybody else to. This, they could win 10 of their next 11 games and we could all be feeling amazing. So I think a 6-5 start is fine. They're doing fine. They're hanging with the Brewers. They're what, a game and a half out now? Like that's all you're asking for. You just want to be part of the crowd right now. You don't have to necessarily take off April 10th.
I mean, we've played 11 games. John Gant has pitched in 7. He has thrown 9 innings in 11 games. I'm just saying, right? Andrew Miller has pitched in 7 games out of 11 games. Dominic Leone has thrown in 6 of 11 games. Now, you would certainly hope that that average will not continue, because the history would tell us that health-wise, that's not a good thing. So my question is, there's no difference there than what was going on before. Where's the difference?
No, there's really not. I think in April, I think bullpen pitchers tend to make more appearances, and I don't have any data to back this up.
No, I'm sure they do, because the starters are whatever. But here's the thing. We're seeing guys throw 90 to 100 pitches. Their effectiveness needs better. And at the end of the day, that's what Kyle and I talked about earlier, was that the starting pitchers are going to have to start going 6 innings. And if they start going 6 innings, then yeah, you can regulate this out. And I understand that that's the problem. My point is, when the other guy was here and the guys were going 4 innings and he used guys all the time, everybody freaked out. Well, it's the same thing. That's not even a manager thing. That's the way this game is working. You know, oh, we don't want them to go through the order a third time. You know, it's a different game, man. It is a different game, and it's hard. It's hard to swallow. But, you know, hey, listen, at the end of the day, we're 6-5. I got to ask you a question that I asked before you go, that I asked Kyle. So I ask you this. What is your, like, do you have a time frame or an amount of games, or is there some formula that you use before you come up with this is what I think we are, this is where I think we're good, bad, whatever, I can really start making some real assessments at this juncture? Is it months? Is it weeks? Is it games? What is it for you?
Memorial Day, right around then. Okay. That normally gets you to the quarter pole. You know, you're normally 40, 42 games in there. And then you kind of get a vibe as to what the weaknesses and strengths are of the team. I think you got to get your hitters a good sample of plate appearances to see, you know, how they're doing, how they should regress or progress towards their mean. And I think also injuries. You know, you want to see how you come out in these first 2 months and whether or not you run into any injury situations.
Well, I think that's probably a pretty good number of games and everything that you get into. You get guys, you can kind of see where they're at. As I said earlier, I don't begrudge people that want to have a feeling after 11 games, because the reality of it is half the people are going to be right and half the people are going to be wrong in their assessment. So we'll just see which half are right and we'll just see which half are wrong. Go ahead.
Yep. I think that also gives you a good sample of teams that you've played. You know, like the first month of the season, the Cardinals are playing the Brewers 10 times. So I don't want to decide anything over the first 25 games when they play the Brewers 10 of them. You know, that doesn't tell me a whole lot. So that's another reason why I wait till around Memorial Day.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. For all of our listeners out there, Moe's, how can they follow you?
On Facebook at Moe's Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. I am excited about the season. We shall see where we go. It's the weather's nice right now here in St. Louis, and in the past, sometimes it's been really cold to start the season. And I got to say that uh, I like I like this weather just like this. So let's see what happens and go from there. But I appreciate your contributions to the show, as I know our friends at Gators Baseball Academy are happy to be associated with it as well. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, thank you, Mo.
No problem. You have a good day, Jim.
All right, that's Mo's Algorithm. And again, I do appreciate all he brings to the shows, and I love his takes, and I love his – you know, it's amazing. This guy at times, you know, I've watched him on Twitter and see some things, and he gets passionate about things and all this. And it's comforting to see a guy that can get real passionate and can get excited and get frustrated and upset, take a calm view right now and just say, hey, look, I mean, it's really too early to say for sure anything. Now, you know, does the analytics part play into that? Of course it does. The eye test would lend itself more to being very judgmental after 11 games. And that's the world I live in, but I'm trying to be patient and let it play out. And like I said, if I can let this play out after what I've seen, because listen, I can tell you right now, there's the part of me that wants to go, oh my God, what is going on with this and this and this? But I look at it and go, man, we're over 500. And I just think there's a lot of room to improve. So I like it. I love what he brings to the show, and I want to thank him. Our next guest, I can't say enough about him and what, and his contributions to the show as we love to get his opinion, because, you know, him and I agree a lot. I like it better when we kind of have a difference of opinion so that we can kind of cover both sides. But for all of us here, I know that people like the conversation. So let's welcome in Brendan Schaefer. Hey, what do you say, Brendan?
Hey, Jim, how are we doing today?
Well, the question is not how am I doing and not how are you doing. The question is, how do you think the Cardinals are doing? And I guess I preface this by saying that if you want to start off your answer with, Jim, it's way too early to tell, you can do that. Or you can say, well, let me tell you what I think so far. I mean, it's really up to you.
Well, I think we've seen some good things, especially the past few days. I mean, you know that early in a season, the first week or so, you probably shouldn't read too much into it. But now that we've kind of already gotten to see some swings, some highs and lows from the Cardinals, and currently certainly on a bit of a high streak, considering the job they've done the last couple of days against the Dodgers. I think they're in good shape. I think they're right about where you'd hope and expect them to be. Because I don't know. I think it's a little bit too much to ask if you're thinking they're going to come out of the gate and go 9-2 or 8-3 or something like that. So, well, you know, got themselves back to 500, back above 500. They're starting to pitch a little bit better, which I think is going to be important. I wasn't too worried about the pitching the first week because, again, you know, you're playing the Brewers. I think the Brewers have a really good lineup. The Miller Park, I was up there. It was a weird deal. The balls were just flying. It just wasn't something I was too concerned about. And you're seeing now them, for the last couple of games, neutralize a Dodgers lineup that had been averaging 8.4 runs per game coming into the series. So I think they're in some good shape, and I tweeted it last night after the win for the Cardinals. The way I look at it is this: you can already kind of see the makings of a really competitive club with what the Cardinals are doing, and that's without everything really going their way. Like, you can certainly nitpick and find areas of the roster and areas of the club that are not producing the way you had hoped so far, and even with that, they're still finding ways to be pretty competitive. So I think they're in a good spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, as we look at it, I've said already that things could be a whole lot worse. I wonder, you know, so they're 6-5, right? To your point, what if they were, so they've played 11 games. Let me take off my shoes and socks and do some quick math. So let's just say they were 8-3. Would I think that we're going to win the division after being 8-3? Well, no. Would I be overly concerned if they were 3-8? Well, I mean, I think my fandom would come out more than my rational thinking. And I, at this juncture, 11 games in, that's what it feels like to me, is that any judgment I have on anything is more fandom than rationale. Does that make any sense? Am I making any sense?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's also fair just to say, look, when real baseball games are being played, and we've already seen 11 of them, you're, as a fan, as someone who follows baseball, like, that's what you're going to do. You're going to dissect things. You're going to say, well, shoot, man, Ozuna looks like garbage. And you know what? For a little while there, he did, and he still does, if we're talking about his play in the outfield. But, you know, he's hitting a home run every now and again. So maybe he can get going with the bat, and you can say that's fine. You don't have to worry. And so like, it's just natural that we're going to come up with things to talk about because that's what we like to do. That's why we like baseball. And yeah, I think we can have these conversations with the preface being that we're not living and dying by anything that we see in the first couple of weeks. But yeah, it's good to kind of test the waters and get a feel for how things are looking. And you can do that as a fan without necessarily declaring any bold statements about the season.
Yeah, I don't have like a – it's funny. I asked both guys, and I'll ask you at the end the question, and I'll save it for the end, to give me when you feel good about making a real general assessment of where you think they're at and what you think so far. I'll save that for the end like I did for everybody else. But for me, I look at it and say, okay – I like the Benji Molina thing, right? Like just win today, right? So that's how I felt the last 2 days. Really doesn't matter what went on before. We got to a game below 500. Now we've just won the last 2 days, and now we're all of a sudden a game above 500. And then you start feeling better, right? You start seeing Pitt, and again, I know we can go back and forth about whether Dakotas Hudson was good or deceivingly good and not very good, whatever, right? The reality of it is they won. They found a way to win. And I think we tend to look at averages and slugging totals and pitching numbers and things like this. But at the end of the day, at the end of the season, you have to win. So I also subscribe to the theory of, and I love this, is that the games in April count just as much as they do in September. So the fact that we're 6-5 and I don't feel like we've played all that great. Now, the last couple games, I mean, whatever, I like you feel better, but man, we could be 3-8, right? We're 6-5.
Yeah, and the margins are, and that's, I think, going to be a theme of the season, that especially in a National League that, to me, I think is going to balance out to have a lot of good teams. Right now, the Cubs somehow and kind of hilariously are off to a bad start. The Reds are off to a bad start. I think both of those teams are going to end up playing better than they have so far. And so I think you're going to see that in a lot of these games, especially within the division, but even you can cast that across the entire National League, they're going to be competitive games and they're going to be a lot of close games between teams that are really competitive. And so I think it's a positive, like you said, that across these first 11 games, yes, have they had some games that you could say maybe got away a little bit, certainly. But you know, three of those happened in Milwaukee where the Christian Yelich show happens. And since then they've really been able to kind of get things under control. And in a lot of these close games where you have, you know, one run lead, three run lead, whatever, you're able to lock things down. And that's been really a positive. That's kind of what the Cardinals envisioned coming into the season, especially with what the bullpen's been able to do the last few days. Been really impressed by John Gant. You talk about, you know, what can we take away? But when a guy like John Gant is doing what he's doing across the first, you know, couple of weeks of the season, I think that's certainly something that we can feel good about taking away and saying, yeah, look for this guy to continue to get those leverage opportunities. And that's maybe not something you expected coming into the season, but it's, I think, been a positive development. And there, I think there are some of those littered across the roster. And Yadi coming through yesterday a couple of times, getting his bet going, is another one. We knew a guy like Yadi was going to do that. It's just getting into the swing of the season. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem like the Cardinals often are that team that starts super hot. But the fact that already after a couple of weeks, they're back a little bit above 500, hanging in there with the, you know, among the top teams, I think is a positive. And yeah, I'm thinking they're in a really good spot right now.
Anything like, I know it's early. Is there anything that you're like, I'm a little, it's a little more than concern for me. Is there anything that's got you like that?
No, I don't think so. I just don't. I don't think that could necessarily happen after you know 11 games. I have the same concern about Ozuna in spring training that I have now. I don't think that's really changed. Which it's not that I'm super concerned, but it's definitely, you know, offensively he's not quite been up to par. But again, there are other guys that are off to slow starts as well, and I expect that those will pick up. And the pitching doesn't worry me either. I think the pitching is going to be in decent shape.
Yeah. So, you know, that time frame for you to really say, this is who I think the Cardinals are, this is what I think they need to do. These are the changes that I would make. This is the deficiencies. These are, what is that for you?
I mean, I would want to see at least probably 6 weeks to a couple of months before really making any bold declarations about the team, certainly, and even about individual players. Like, am I thinking Ozuna's going to have a hard time? Yeah, but it's, I don't think it's time to completely abandon him or you know, just bench him for the season. Same, you know, Fowler, same thing. So, I mean, you've got to play, I think, a decent chunk of the season, a quarter of the season or so, before you really can start to clamp down on, you know, direction that you think. And things are going to change even after that. You know, last season the Cardinals were really one team in the first half, and then for 6 weeks thereafter in August or so, they were a different team, and they didn't get it done in September. So, like, you can kind of get a sense for what the problem spots are going to be, but that's what's great about a baseball season. Like, it's really a roller coaster. Things are going to change throughout the year. But as far as pressing the panic button on anybody, I'd say you got to give it at least 6 weeks or so.
Well, I like your 6 weeks, and I know you and I sometimes get in a groove where we agree on everything. But it's funny. I got to tell you, the reason I like 6 weeks versus maybe the 2 months or 3 months or get here or get there, the 6 weeks for me is because I don't think I physically can wait any longer to make a real assessment because, yeah, you know, because the human nature in me wants to make one now, right? So it's like,
right.
So then I start going, okay, let's get a month into this thing. And then there's a little bit of rationality in me that says, come on, Jim, a month? Come on, you got to give it more than a month, right? So then I start going, okay, well, if it's not a month, is it 2 months? And then that little guy on my shoulder goes, 2 months, way too long. You'll never make it 2 months. So let's go 6 weeks. So I think I like 6 weeks. So maybe we'll revisit this little topic in 6 weeks and we'll have a little bit of a better opinion. So I think as we look at this, I like where we're at. Am I looking at us going, yeah, we're going to win the division? No, I'm not going to say that today. But I'm of the belief that winning, if they're winning, I feel like we're winning. Winning's better than losing. If you were to tell me that after some of the games I've seen, we were 6-5 versus 3-8 or whatever it is, and I believe that we have a lot of room for improvement, I would have to be like, okay, let's just keep getting better, and I'll live with that. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think I wasn't going to be one to necessarily make bold strokes about the first 2 weeks, but when you look and if you'd said on opening day, hey, the Cardinals will be 6-5 after 11, would you take that? I think a lot of people would have said yes, just because when you look at the concerns that you have for the offseason, you're like, oh my gosh, what if we get this season started and they're no good, they're just completely terrible. And, you know, I don't know how many people thought that. I think by and large, the fan base was more optimistic about this team coming in than last team. But you know, I think that there's always that concern in the back of your mind that, wow, what if the plans that they laid just were not good ones? And I think after the first week, some people were like, ah, the pitching. But I think all that stuff is going to level out. One guy that I didn't mention that if I were going to say guy I was most concerned about, even after yesterday had a good little outing, the Andrew Miller thing has been really strange. Like, just struggling for several outings in a row to get out. I might even place him a little bit above Ozuna as far as concern, just because I think the Cardinals can maybe better weather and some Ozuna issues with the depth they have. You plot in Jose Martinez and you just chug right along. I don't know if the Cardinals have somebody to plot in for Andrew Miller, so. I know that kind of took a turn in my comment, but I just wanted to mention that before we left.
No,
not overly concerned, but that's certainly something to keep an eye on.
I don't have a problem with that comment, only because, to your point, now listen, Marcell Ozuna, when he's right, is obviously, he's a middle-of-the-order bat in the major leagues, and it isn't like those growing trees, right? And while I say that, you know, replacing him, not easy, but you look at our lineup and you sit here and go, if I had to put Tyler O'Neill in left field, if I had to put Jose Martinez in left field or right field, whichever one, like you could say either guy, right? I would feel okay.
Sure.
Now, after a while, if it didn't work out, I go, uh-oh. But here's the thing about Andrew Miller. If Andrew Miller can't go, I mean, who we got? You know? I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So, good point. I like that. I think that was good. So, Well, listen, man, we're going to see where it goes. Like I said, next week, we're going to be another week into the season. We're going to get through the rotation again. You know, we can tack on another, you know, let's call it 5 or 6 games onto the standings. And let's just kind of see where we're at. I think the thing to remember in all of this is, as I've said this probably 3 times today, what goes up must come down sometimes. The only thing you do want to make sure is, and this is when assessing your team and comparing it to other teams, let's try to remember that the Brewers improved themselves last year and stepped up and became a real force. And if they continue their play and they expand leads while you don't play well, I mean, as I say, those games right now count just like they do at the end of the year. So you definitely want to keep an eye on that kind of stuff. And that will fuel the fire too, in my opinion, when people start saying, yeah, this is why I have this opinion. So anyway, just some thoughts. I don't know. I don't know where you're at on that.
Yeah, man, I think we're pretty much in agreement with all that. I think, here we go. You know, you've got more good games against the Dodgers to watch. I would say just enjoy, as a fan, you should just enjoy it all, because honestly, I looked up yesterday and thought, oh my gosh, like 10 games have been played already, you know, a 16th of the season. It flies by. So let's enjoy the summer. Let's, it'll be great talking baseball with you the whole way through as well.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, my man. Where can everybody follow you?
It's on Twitter at BSchaefer12, and you can download the Baseball STL app. That's KMOV's app, and that's where my stories and such will be posted throughout the season.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, I mean, this is going to be great throughout the summer as we get on here and kind of get the panel of experts rolling with where we're at and where we think we're going to be, along with getting the pulse of just being a fan. So I'm excited about it, and I look forward to our summer. But you take care of yourself, young man, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too, Jim. Have a good week.
All right. That is Brendan Schaefer. Again, love having him on the show. Love his takes. Whether I agree with him or not, which we tend to agree a lot, I think it's actually better when we don't, like, when we're not on the same page, so that we can kind of cover both sides of a topic. But sometimes things just seem, you know, to be what they are. And you sit here and you say, you know, sorry, but this seems strange to me, and I'm going to ask a question about it, and I don't care if it's wrong right now. And that's kind of what this today's show was about, was, you know, where are you really at in the general scheme of all of this when it comes to, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals and where they're at after just 11 games. And while I don't tell anybody they can't freak out after 11 games, I would highly suggest you don't. But I also have to say that when somebody had a rough whole year, both on the stat sheet and by the eye test, and then it starts off a little slow, I think you're going to ask some questions. So there's that part of it too. So I enjoy it. I enjoy the conversations. There's really nothing anybody could say to me right now where I'd say you're crazy. It is what it is. So let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun with it. And let's take this weather right now while we can get it in April, because I think we all know that sometimes in April the weather is not like this in St. Louis. So great stuff from all my panel of experts. One last time, I want to thank InnovativeCompanies.com, my man Randy Green, residential, commercial, industrial. He's got you covered. Give him an opportunity for your business. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans everywhere. Make sure you guys give Patios an opportunity when you head over to the ballpark. It's still the best place in my opinion to go pregame, postgame. I love it, and it's still our meeting place for all of our friends. So that's Patios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals fans everywhere. To our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, home of the four-pillar system, thank you for allowing me to be a part of what you're doing to allow me to help you grow in Illinois, as I love being part of the Illinois youth baseball scene. And to all those people out there that I know and that listen to the show and are on the Illinois side, if you want to learn more about what we offer, just DM me privately, or you can check us out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. For the high school players, they have the Gators Baseball Academy as well, and I'm happy to give you more information on that. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To Adam Smokehouse, you know, it's funny. I sit here and talk about stuff like this, and as I'm working today, and Benji Molina, he's working too. Let's face it, he's always working. He's at the stadium, and obviously Polo Asensio, his Spanish partner, everybody knows, is from the L.A. area and worked for the Dodgers. So you know, Benji and Polo and some friends of theirs from the Dodgers are heading to Adam's Smokehouse as we speak, and I'm stuck here working, and it stinks, I don't mind telling you. But you always have an opportunity and a choice to go there, and I would suggest that you do. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do the box lunches, and they do great catering. The food is second to none. St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse, here's your cue. To all of our partners out there, thank you. All the Facebook groups that allow us to post. My friend Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com and all the great stuff he does. Chris Lawless and his Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Ron and Crash and Gina over at Cards on Deck. Love what those guys are doing as well. To Linda and Vicky with fans of Yadier Molina. And, of course, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Two of my favorite groups. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew, two great ones as well, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinal Freak, all the great Facebook pages out there. Thank you. Learn more about us at twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there as it's free. You can also check out our bloggers. Happy to be associated with all of them as well. That's Two Birds Bloggers. Check them out at twobirdsonabat.com. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Find our pinned post, as that's typically our show. Make sure you've liked it, comment on it, and shared it. That's how we reach Cardinal fans and make them part of our group as well, and we appreciate you guys for doing it. To say thank you for that, everybody that does so is eligible. Every time you do it, you're eligible in our contest. Every couple weeks, we give away an autographed baseball, compliments of our friends, Benji Molina, Yadier Molina, and all the gang over at m4byyadi.com. You can check that out for all that great apparel that Yadi does and uses the money to help all the different charities that he's involved in as well. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Love you guys to follow us there. And obviously you can see us as part of the Lineup Media Group.fm network, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. Download it for free on your mobile device today. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, and of course, Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meet the eye test. Let's go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.